speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
The theme for our study this afternoon is suggested in John chapter 7, verse 43. As the people in Palestine listened to the teaching and the claims of Christ, there were all kinds of reactions. Some said, "Truly, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." And still others said, "Will the Christ come out of Galilee?" Well, as John reports on these various responses, he makes a statement in verse 43 of John 7. "So there was a division among the people because of him." Jesus was not like what the scribes and the Pharisees expected. His style and his integrity stood far above the popular opinion of the Gentile philosophers. He stood for something. He spoke with authority. He made claims which were verified by his signs and miracles and wonders. And so, when he did not meet their expectations, there was a division among the people because of him. Now, this does not suggest that Jesus desired division. But there was a division among the people. And I'd like to borrow that last phrase, matter of fact, the last three words, "because of him." There are a number of wonderful blessings that exist today because of him. Number one, I would suggest that because of him, sinners can have pardon. What do you associate with the word pardon? Well, I think of prison, someone that's incarcerated, someone that's desiring their release. Maybe they're even on death row, waiting anxiously for some hope, some glimmer, some ray of at least a stay of execution. But even far greater than that would be a pardon. The word suggests then captivity, or it suggests prison, something distressing, something that one would seek to be delivered from. And indeed, the Bible tells us about a prison, a condition of bondage or a condition of being a servant. And many who are in this prison do not recognize the terrible condition that they are really in. So Jesus, Peter, Paul, all had something to say about this. And Jesus spoke of this prison of sin in John 8, verse 34. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And in Acts 8, 23, Peter spoke of this prison when he said, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." And Paul wrote about it in Romans 3, verse 9, verse 19, and verse 23. "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. But we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." And later, in his letter to the Romans, Paul reminds Christians at Rome in Romans 6, verse 17, about the fact that you're servants to sin, to whom you give yourself servants to obey. And in this prison, everyone is on death row. As long as you remain in sin, you're in a prison and you're on death row, for the wages of sin is death, Romans 6, 23. And prisoners need to understand the second death, from which there is no resurrection. We read of that in Revelation 21, 8. "But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Well, I know this is not good news for those who are in sin. But you need to face it, that as long as you stay in sin, you're headed for this lake which burns with fire and brimstone. This is the prison of sin. And you're there because you've transgressed God's law. And so long as you continue to live in transgression, you remain in this prison headed for the second death. But here's the good news. A pardon has been signed, sealed, and is ready to be delivered. It's called the gospel of Christ. And because of him, pardon is available. You can be set free from the prison of sin. Romans 6:17, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, Paul says, that whereas you were the servants of sin, you have become the servants of righteousness. So because of him, born those three words in John 7:43, because of sin, him, sinners can have pardon. And now we can see why it's called good news. Well, again, because of him, sheep can have a shepherd. One thing you learn very early in your Bible study is that man needs guidance. When man is left to himself, when man is left to his own devices, there are frustrating and overwhelming consequences that take place. The prophet Isaiah described this when he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Isaiah 53:6. And this is something Jesus observed early in his life. We're told in Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And he observed the results of this, the practice of sin, idolatry, the worship of human tradition, all manner of disobedience, because he saw the multitude scattered about like sheep without a shepherd. But the good news is, friend, we don't have to live without guidance. We don't have to be like sheep without a shepherd. In his life and through his word, Jesus provides the guidance, and God provides that guidance through his son Jesus. He provides the leadership that we need to be spiritually healthy and sound. And he is the true shepherd. As John 10:4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Well, because of him, there was a division among the people. And because of him, there is pardon from sin. Because of him, there is a shepherd for the sheep. And third, today, because of him, the church came into existence. While our Lord was on the earth, he was with his disciples. One time, near the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some said, thou art John the Baptist, others Elias, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he turned to them and said, but who do you say that I am? And as if answering for all of them, Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Indeed he was. Well, Jesus replied, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:17-18. Notice there, Jesus said, I will build my church. The church was prophesied of in Isaiah 2:1-4. It was prophesied of in numerous places in the Old Testament. And now it's promised by Christ here. So the church was not some afterthought, not something thrown in because Jesus couldn't establish his kingdom when he came the first time, because indeed he did establish his kingdom. He said, I will build my church. Paul wrote about it in Ephesians 1:22. When he's speaking of Christ that hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And again in Colossians 1, verse 18, again speaking of Christ, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, that's firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. The church was in the mind of God from eternity, we learn in Ephesians chapter 3. And it is the church is to make known the manifold wisdom of God. Daniel spoke of that church as a kingdom that would stand forever in Daniel 2, verse 44. And so, because of Him, the church is coming to existence. And because of Him, the church has a head. Headship has to do with authority. And when we speak of authority, we're talking about the right to make laws, to demand obedience, to judge actions by those laws. And friends, Christ possesses authority. It is one thing to be the head of something, but it's another to say He is the head of the church and all things to the church. He's the head over the church. And that means that ones who become members of His church are not on their own. They live and work under the head. Whatever is said or done that does not conform to His word lacks His authority and cannot possibly do us any spiritual good. Headship involves guidance. Headship involves authorization. And He provides that for His church. And the only acceptable response to authority is obedience. Because of Him, there was a division among the people. But because of Him, there's pardon from sin. Because of Him, there's a shepherd for the sheep. Because of Him, the church came into existence. And we would sum up, we want to talk about this more tomorrow, but because of Him, we can respond to the gospel of Christ. We can respond to the call of God that demands that we believe in Christ. John 8:24, except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. And it demands that we turn away from sin. That's repentance. We give up the love of sin, the practice of sin. Luke 13, verse 3 and 5. That we confess His name before men. And because of Him, we can be baptized into Christ and have salvation. Mark 16, verse 16. And because of Him, if we sin as a child of God, we can repent and pray God for forgiveness and receive that forgiveness. Tune in tomorrow as we continue our thought along the theme, because of Him. Until tomorrow, a very pleasant good afternoon.